Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Just in the last few minutes, Harris, we found out how much it costs to get rid of a 25% tariff for a month. The cost is 10,000 Mexican troops, and President Trump himself just went live confirming this. He's saying, I just spoke with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico. It was a very friendly conversation wherein she agreed to immediately supply 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border separating Mexico and the United States. These soldiers will be specifically designated to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into our country. We further agreed to immediately pause the anticipated tariff for 1 month, during which we will have negotiations headed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, and Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, and high-level representatives from Mexico. I look forward to participating in those negotiations with President Sheinbaum as we attempt to achieve a deal between our two countries.
So there you have Peter Doocy reacting to the statement from Donald Trump, President Trump, on some negotiations that are taking place now between the United States and Mexico. We saw Trudeau. As far as we know, is that still game on?
Keep
our maple syrup. You keep your American commerce. And
that's
economy.
Still well. They're having talks today.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that means.
Donald Trump says he's going to put tariffs on Mexico. Mexico says, "Can we have a minute? Just a minute." I was like, "How about some troops?" Okay. So there's negotiations. I think that. The idea of tariffs is just a new way of life. You know, like what Kayleigh McEnany was saying earlier, the tariffs are not the end. The tariffs are a means to an end. And the end is a better deal for the United States. And what Donald Trump is betting on is that if the tariffs are the end, if that's as far as they get, that will be a better deal for the United States than whatever the status quo is. But if the tariffs get us to a place where we do have people pitching in the way that we would like them to pitch in some sort of equitable relationship, economically speaking, then Donald Trump is willing to have those uncomfortable conversations because he's not interested in being the BFF for every other country in the world while they take advantage of us. It's if you, gosh, I don't know why I correlate everything like this to middle school children, but do you remember the people who like tried to be liked by everybody and they weren't necessarily not liked by anybody, but it's like when they're in the friend group, they're the one that gets made fun of, but for them getting made fun of in the friend group is better because you're in the friend group.
Yeah.
Than being made fun of and not being in the friend group.
They just sort of want to get along.
Yeah. They just want to be included. It's all that matters is to be included. And then you see some other people who are willing, they're kind of maybe outliers or whatever, but they're not willing to go along with the crowd to do the things that the crowd is doing. And then they're outliers and maybe they're less popular. Some people really like them. Some people really can't stand them. Some people are obsessed with trying to make their lives miserable. And at the end of the day, you realize that those people stood on a principle and their entire decision-making process, it wasn't based on what everybody else thinks of them. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and the thing that kind of sucks is that the kid, okay, I know exactly that kid, the kid that just wants to be included, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, he just wants to be included. And unfortunately, that desire is above all, and it causes nobody to really respect him.
Do you know, and you know what else? The group that they want to fit in, they're usually mean people.
Because you wouldn't have to fight for it so
much. Exactly. And it's hard to do when it's a popularity contest all the time. It's hard to stand up for something because The meanest one is always the leader. The one that's willing to throw their weight around is always the bully. And we see that from country to country to country. You see a few people who are like, you know, the bully doesn't make fun of me, so we'll just kind of tag along here and keep our head down and not try to ruffle any feathers. There are not that many leaders in the world. There are a few leaders in the world. There are a lot of followers in the world. And I'm talking about countries here, but I'm also talking about in grade school and in high school and in your workplace and in your church community and in your very, very high profile youth sports teams. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always some sort of hierarchy that exists out there, and that people are jockeying around instead of just like, when you get to the other side of that, if you have a sense of maturity where you're like, I don't really need that. I like the relationships, but not at that cost. It's like morning time. It's like you wake up. And that's what it feels like the United States is doing right now. We're waking up. We don't need to kiss your butt. Like, you don't need to go everywhere and make sure that you are liked by everybody when you're face to face. You don't need to do that, because when you leave, they take advantage of you, and that's what these countries have been doing.
Especially when you're holding all the cards. When somebody finally does it, and you go, why haven't we been doing any of this? Maybe not even to the extreme that Donald Trump is doing it. He's having to correct everything that hasn't been done. But why hasn't anybody been doing this?
Yeah. And that's the YouTube poll for today. Do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, you do. No, you don't. Or you don't really understand the tariffs as much as you'd like to, but you do trust Donald Trump, which I think is a different answer than yes or no.
It is, and I would actually like to see how many people fall into that category.
Me too.
Which is why this is an interesting poll.
Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can go vote there. Let's do Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Monday Roundup! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
There is one thing that from our conversation just now that we forgot to mention from this weekend. There was a step missing there. So Trump calls the tariffs. Then the leaders go out and make big headlines, and everybody declares trade war. And the president of Mexico, the president or the prime minister of Canada, they say, well, we're going to retaliate. Then the step that we forgot to mention is the part where they're not in front of the cameras, and then they call Trump privately and they go, so what's really going on? And then gets called off on Monday morning.
The other thing is Donald Trump doesn't care if people say publicly what they need to say publicly.
Exactly.
On the other side of it to save political face. He's not bothered by that.
No.
And people might think that he is very bothered by it. He wants the deal done. And if he can come back home and say that he was right, he's do whatever you got to do. Mexican president, I win.
All right, now to the important stories. This is a follow-up story from something we've reported on in the past. The previous story was that a man spent a whopping $14,000 on a hyper-realistic custom-made border collie dog costume. Do you remember talking about this a little bit?
I do.
Well, there's news. He has revealed he's opening up a zoo, but not just any zoo. It's a zoo where all the animals dressed up as animals. So, just letting you know. So it's a guy who spent $14,000 to look exactly like a border collie, and it really does look like a border collie.
Is this a story that is known by people?
Oh yeah, we've reported on this.
Ooh, I blocked it out.
The first part. Now the second part, the part where you can go to a zoo and see border collies.
I'm in favor of this. This is a good idea.
Yeah, if one were to want to like go to the zoo where would that be? Or maybe how much would
you
have to
take a trip overseas?
You know, some people might call me a furry correspondent.
Right. And so we're going to send you to Tokyo, which is where this is.
You can go to Tokyo because you're more familiar.
Okay, I guess I'll go.
Can I tag along?
Yeah.
Yes.
To the furry convention?
No.
We're just reporters.
Just to the zoo.
Pittsburgh.
I want to go to the zoo.
Yeah. Fourth of July. This is how you know when to go.
Yes.
That's when it's happening. Mm-hmm. Massive. AJ McCutcheon's going to have a great series. Andrew McCutcheon. The wrong one. Whatever. I'm a furry correspondent, not an MLB correspondent.
Yeah.
Get it right, Ethan.
And she's just reporting.
Aren't you? Yeah. Falsely. Don't you want them all to go in the same place? Just
go to the zoo?
Just go.
Lock them up.
Go.
I didn't think about that part of it.
Yeah, just be there. Live your life. High five.
They're in cages at night.
It's, if they want to.
It's probably like those dogs on Bugs Bunny that clock out at the end of the day.
I would rather them be at their own furry zoo than in the mall.
Here's a question. Are the zookeepers animals dressed up like people?
I was going to say something, but I can't make that funnier. That's just funny.
I'm trying to like imagine that.
The answer is yes, and there's only one way to find out. Ask them to bite you.
Can you bite me? Hey, that's a giraffe, not a person. How's he carrying around that wheelbarrow full of meat? Anyway, okay, so that's that story. There we go. Got a report on this real quick. There is a secret menu at Wendy's, and it actually legitimately has one of the craziest menu items that I've ever seen, and it's being reported on by New York Post now. It's going viral.
Is a secret menu something that the restaurant puts out, or is it something that people order so frequently that they just understand how to make it? There's no secret menu.
I think it's both. I think it happens both ways. My guess is that it starts... You could tell me this.
What do you mean?
Being somebody who used to work in fast food.
There was no secret
there
menu.
There was no secret menu. But if employees...
But at Taco Bell, like, everything is on the table.
Yeah.
It's all the same stuff
anyway. Yeah, it's the same stuff.
Mixed in different ways, yeah.
Well, this is that.
Shape-shifting.
This is a burger at Wendy's that it, apparently, and it's not every location, so if you try it and it doesn't work, that's on you. It's not on me. It's called the T-Rex. So if you go to the Wendy's near you and you order a T-Rex, they might give you a burger with 12 patties with cheese in between.
This is
every
when you start having cheese and
one.
Butter ooze out of your hand. And you
yes, it is.
Lipids.
And there are multiple people showing, look, I got this thing. It's real. And Wendy's, I guess, has confirmed that some places do have
what
this,
they
not all of them.
It?
That's what I want to know.
Between $22 and $30, depending on the
restaurant.
See,
I wonder if it would be in Wendy's advantage to just push out the story that you can buy this $30 burger from the secret menu that makes people want to go order it and see if they can really get it.
What is the point, though? I mean,
marketing.
That,
well, money,
what Andy
money.
Just said
no,
is the not, point.
No. I mean, for
no,
people.
No. That's all there is.
Just money.
Just money.
You know what
money,
Andy said?
And then,
that was the point.
And then, so Wendy's money. And then when I do this and I film myself doing it and I put it on my social media, then I make 32 cents.
It's so dumb.
And how much did Wendy's pay us to report on this? Nothing.
I'm getting nothing for this.
Free advertising.
Yeah, but it is fantastic to look at and think that somebody might actually try to eat that. 12 patties, and man, is it look greasy. All right, moving on.
Are you talking about the Wendy's story or the zoo story?
Oh, no. I'm talking about that meat in that wheelbarrow still. I can't get past it.
The giraffe.
This is the giraffe. Yeah.
He doesn't have thumbs. Yeah. How does he carry it?
That gentleman has quite a long neck. The Grammys. Anybody paying attention?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
Do you care that Jimmy Carter won one?
That's the only one that I know that was won. So.
Did you know that? You saw that reported?
No. I knew zero.
So
now
Jimmy
I know
Carter,
Jimmy Carter is... the it thing.
Yeah, he won for best audiobook, which, I mean, no offense.
Did Kamala Harris present it to him?
Toward the end of his life, I can't imagine that sounding that great either, unless he recorded it quite a while ago. But
he narrated
did,
it? He probably did like the foreword.
Yeah, it's all... The Grammys are so ceremonial that half the people that won, you're like, I didn't even know
Isn't
they were still making music.
Isn't it true that you can like buy yourself a Grammy?
I've never heard that. You can buy yourself a Grammy? Oh, wait. I think I know where this is headed.
A little pay for play.
Like I release a single and I buy a million copies of my own single? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And just know the right people, be connected to the right people.
I think that's correct.
Isn't that what Taylor Swift did? To a large extent, did her dad buy a ton of her
early
music,
in her
so?
Career, she did. Not that may still be happening. Beyonce's done it. They know for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd probably be pressed to find an artist who goes to number one who you've heard of
Beyonce
who's not
won
done this.
Country Album of the Year?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is fascinating.
I missed it. Her Texas Hold'em song, I think, is super catchy. It's a pop song.
Yeah.
It's not country. Just because you're wearing buttless chaps in the video doesn't make it a country song.
Debatable.
Yeah, if I
don't know, let's research it and find out.
If I do that in our next video, people aren't going to be like, "That's a great country song."
I don't feel good enough right now to entertain this. You're just going to say jokes, and I'm just going to sit here and chuckle at them.
That's fine.
I can't go back and forth. Yeah. Today. It's not happening.
I could tell you weren't feeling great, but hey. Buttless chaps. See? It was great. You guys are a great crowd.
All right. You can go watch the waitress. Texas Hold'em video, but you have to promise us that we'll film the buttless chaps video of Ryan Wiggins, that you have to look at that too for our algorithm.
Also, at the end of the day, cut one of these, any one of these videos that we're talking about right now, and just call it buttless chaps. Because all the shots are waist up. Nobody will know the difference.
Actually, just cut what he just said there and call it buttless chaps.
There you
and
go.
Leave everybody just hanging.
That? There you go.
They'll watch the video three times to see if they missed it, and they'll be like, no, we didn't. Then they'll be mad.
Yeah.
And then they'll comment negatively on it. And when they comment negatively on it, YouTube will be like, hey, you guys like this video.
Yeah. Remember that 32 cents we were talking about the Wendy story? Here it comes. Real quick, this is for you, Brad.
Oh.
There. Whatever, that little flash I just did right there.
I got it.
Yeah. You can grab that for later.
It's the best radio we've done all day.
Last story.
No, we got a break. I'm in charge here.
You can go to music. I can do it over the music.
No, we have a congressman waiting for us.
Punxsutawney Phil predicts 6 more weeks of winter, you guys.
Yeah, 70 degrees outside. Sees what he knows.
Well, that's just for their part of the country.
Is there anything that we should bring from this segment into the Congressman Burleson segment?
Yeah, the burger.
Buttless chaps.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.
It's a tragic and sad accident. I really feel for the families on the plane, on the helicopter. It's, you know, these accidents are all often very complicated. A set of things that happen sequentially. It's often not one thing that causes a major aviation accident like this. I've been involved in accident investigations, particularly like with Space Shuttle Columbia, you know, as an example that we lost in 2003. And to say that it has to do with the person's color of their skin or their gender, I think that's just poor leadership. And especially at a time where any president is supposed to be the consoler in chief.
So Senator Mark Kelly reacting to the plane crash. It's been like a wild weekend of stories. We've got two plane crashes here that we've had to deal with. A lot of transportation issues. Is the president supposed to be the consoler in chief? I don't know if that's exactly in the job description. You would like to see leadership. You would like to see competence, and you would like to see action when action needs to be taken, if reform needs to be made. And we're watching to see how this story unfolds, because it was such a tragic, tragic catastrophe. We wanted to bring our friend Representative Eric Burleson on the show with us. Of course, he is Missouri's 7th Congressional District Representative. He's also a member of the House Oversight Committee, a member of the Freedom Caucus, but also a member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Congressman, thank you for the time today. It's an honor to have you on the show with us.
It's an honor to be on, Annie.
Thank you so much. I want to give you the opportunity to react to these two plane crashes that they're very different situations, but the proximity of them, they kind of become part of the same story. And also Senator Kelly's criticism there of President Trump's reaction.
Yeah, I don't know that I can comment about the second plane crash because we don't really have many details. But look, his response is really telling of where the Democratic Party has been and where they continue to be. They're just very obtuse to the reality. And that is, Trump was not saying that this was caused by a DEI hire. What he was saying is that this is an agency that, just like all the other federal agencies, they're so focused on DEI, that's their number one mission, that they've lost sight of their core, or, you know, has been mentioned like in the business world, their hedgehog, which is hiring talented individuals, right? If you're the FAA, you want the most talented, brightest people, regardless of their race, their gender, their disability, whatever. You want the most talented people, but instead they're chasing after quotas and they're focused on DEI. And as a result, we have a shortage in air traffic controllers. We have, you know, people that may not be as qualified as some of the other candidates that got the position. And that's what Trump is trying to make the point of. This is not about, you know, we pointing at saying, as Kelly wants it to be, is saying that people of a particular, you know, who are DEI hires are the ones that are responsible. That's not at all what he's saying. He's saying we have a decayed system. We have a broken system. Sorry if I'm on a rant here, Annie.
Yeah, go on.
If you go back to FEMA, when we had the disaster that happened in the disaster and FEMA's trying to clean it up and you had that big scandal, well, guess what? They had to come in front of Congress and apologize. And their number one priority was not hiring competent people. It's hiring based on DEI. When we had the Secret Service allow for the first time in decades someone to take a shot at the president of the United States, and everyone was wondering, how in the world could this possibly happen? Guess what? Their number one priority was DEI. That was the number one mission statement for that agency. And so I think that Trump is onto something. And there was a documentary that was done by The Blaze just in November talking about how DEI has crippled the FAA's ability to hire competent air traffic controllers. And sadly, 2 months later, this happens.
Yeah, it's very sad all around. I know that, like, as soon as the word DEI gets entered into a tragedy, then a lot of times the political story will take over kind of the humanity of the story from time to time. You know, my heart goes out to all the people who lost loved ones in, whether they were in the Black Hawk helicopter or in the American airline jet. Is there, I mean, gosh, it just happened, but is there fault that is assessed? Do we know where the breakdown happened to cause this accident?
I think it's too early to know exactly where the breakdown happened, but one of the early signs is that you had one air traffic controller doing the work of what would normally be two. That's an example of us not having enough people on staff to do the job. You know, one of the evaluations I would like to see happen is to, let's evaluate the software system that they're using. I understand that it's very old and arcane technology, and evaluate that. Let's look at some things. For example, AI. Where could AI have stepped in and helped some of this to help stop some of this from happening?
We're speaking with Congressman Eric Burleson, Missouri 7th Congressional District Representative. I think that I've never flown into Reagan National. I've flown out of that airport. I didn't realize how small it was after all the reports. We were finding out like how short the runways are, how busy it is. Is there going to be any change to the traffic that comes in and out of that airport, or is that a non-starter?
I'm pretty sure it's a non-starter. It's the one airport that every member of Congress uses to get in and out. It is a very popular airport. And also, if anything, there's more demand at that airport. So it's got increasing demand, increasing volume. I think that the question we ought to be asking is, can we not operate in the same space here? Can the FAA not figure out a way in which the military can run exercises with their helicopters and at the same time not crash into a plane?
Yeah, that's a good place to start as well. I'm reading from a report here from earlier in January where you, along with several of your colleagues there in the House of Representatives, are looking to dismantle the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. And I know that, people look at these tragedies here and they think maybe more regulation is needed. And we've seen a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, and certainly President Trump talk about less. The DOGE effort, I remember them saying, would we have like 420-something agencies? He was saying he thinks he can get it down to 99. You're calling on abolishing the ATF. What would come of that? What would be the fallout and the benefit of removing the ATF from its existence here?
Yeah, I love this question because, being a former state lawmaker, one of the first things you recognize is that the Missouri statutes overlap almost completely with federal firearm laws. And the people that are actually enforcing the laws are your rank and file, like sheriff and in a sheriff's office, your local police office, your highway patrol. They're the ones that are actually enforcing both the federal and the state laws. But what ends up happening is the ATF will draft some kind of new rule that they've decided. There's no elected officials. So, for example, the pistol brace rule, that was entirely done by unelected bureaucrats in the ATF. And as the result of that is that then the ATF can come in and commandeer your local sheriff, your local police chief and highway patrol to start rounding up pistol braces, which is not about keeping people safe. It's about making things terrifying and making criminals out of law-abiding law-abiding gun owners. So this is an agency that doesn't really, when the rubber meets the road, help us be safe. If anything, they're going after our Second Amendment rights.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I live in Illinois, I live across the river, come to Missouri 5 days a week to do this show. So I'm in Missouri right now. But it means a whole different thing to be a firearm owner in the state of Illinois versus Missouri. If you abolish the ATF, does that change at all the state's rights to manage the laws, how they restrict and control and regulate a law-abiding citizen's ability to own and operate a firearm?
Yeah, that's a great question. At the end of the day, it wouldn't change much because your local law enforcement, your state, Missouri and Illinois both have laws on the books pertaining to how people should handle firearms, purchase them, all of that. So at the end of the day, the ATF is a duplicative agency. Not only do they overlap your state and local government, but they overlap a lot of federal agencies as well. By abolishing the ATF, you're not eliminating the laws per se. I have another bill that does that. But if the laws were in place, the FBI or U.S. Marshals Service, some other agency could step in and do that if they decided. But at the end of the day, it's a duplicative agency. And look back at the history of this agency. It is responsible for some of the most embarrassing moments in U.S. history. You had Ruby Ridge that was started by the ATF trying to actually entrap an individual to get him to saw off a shotgun. They ended up raiding his property and killing half of his family. You had the, you know, Fast and Furious incident. You had the event in Waco. All of these were done by the geniuses at the ATF. And then just recently we had an event in Arkansas this last year where a community leader, the head of one of the at the local airport, he was purchasing too many guns according to their new rule change, and they went in and raided his home, shot him in the head, and he was completely unarmed. So this is the kind of stuff that the ATF does and why they continue to be an embarrassment.
Representative Burleson, this is Ryan Wiggins. I'm reading a lot about agencies like USAID being maybe eliminated, but also kind of moved under the State Department. Is that what you're talking about with the ATF, is maybe not eliminating it entirely, but moving it under a different department? Or do you actually want to completely eliminate this thing?
In large part, I want to eliminate and gut their responsibilities because a lot of it can be done and should be done at the state and local level. So I don't think we want federal agents coming in and commandeering our local law enforcement and telling them what their new priorities are when it comes to keeping people safe. Our local sheriff, your local police chief, they all know what's best for your community, and they don't need to have a federal bureaucrat changing those priorities for them. Now, I'm excited about, you know, the effort to eliminate the USAID program. This is a black program. It shovels out billions and billions of dollars. Most of it is CIA slush fund stuff. And a lot of the money goes to things that are just, for example, the Wuhan gain of function stuff was funded through USAID. Anytime you see something that's really questionable, it's usually going through that program.
We're speaking with Congressman Eric Burleson, representing Missouri's 7th Congressional District. Before we let you go, I see you're a member of the House Oversight Committee. I think that a lot of what I want to make sure still happens is that we look into the mismanagement of relationships, of taxpayer dollars coming out of the Biden administration, going into the Trump administration, of course. I'm wondering what you consider in your experience with the House Oversight Committee, this iteration, where is their focus and how many? I mean, I guess you're going to have to carry multiple focuses at one time. But what should we expect to see from the House Oversight in these 2 years?
I think that the number one priority really is the DOGE effort. So oversight dovetails very well with the effort that Elon Musk is doing. And so I'm on the DOGE subcommittee. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the chairwoman of that committee. And you're going to see, for example, I'm on a text thread. We're planning some of the upcoming hearings. One of the hearings will be about all of the waste and mismanagement that the NGOs were doing, especially in helping to, you know, helping, you know, exacerbate the immigration process. So that will be probably one of our very first hearings. We'll probably have a hearing about some of the wasted programs like in PBS and in, you know, NPR. I think it's long past overdue that we are still subsidizing someone that basically competes with you, right? Like, this is a federally funded agency. We would scoff at the idea. We scoff at that federally funded or government funded speech in other countries and talk about it being government speech. And yet we do it here in America. And because we have Big Bird, it's hard to eliminate these programs. But at the end of the day, I think that they would survive just fine on their own and should survive. But we'll have hearings on that, along with a lot of the waste that happens in Medicaid. There's a lot of fraud in Medicaid, and that's where a lot of money that is wasted, as well as a lot of money that was wasted in COVID. And some of the PPP loans and other things we'll be investigating.
You know, what I'd like to see is no taxpayer dollars, like the Hyde Amendment says, going to any facility that provides abortion, whether or not Planned Parenthood says that they use those dollars on abortion. Let's take what we have been giving Planned Parenthood and let's give it to, as a Republican-led effort, adoptive services across the country. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that.
I love that, too. I think that our family donates to pregnancy care centers because we just understand the need for that. And it's, I think it's more as a Christian, I'm a Christian. I think that I have an individual responsibility to care for the people in need. And I think that, I think they do a much better job with those dollars than a government, funneling it through a government program.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Congressman Burleson, for being here with us today. I know there's going to be plenty to talk about in the weeks to come, so come back soon. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to be back. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you very much. Congressman Eric Burleson, the 7th Congressional District Representative in the state of Missouri. He's got a lot of hats in Congress, and it's always fun to have them, especially if you're watching on the YouTube channel. He was on Zoom with us, so that was a face-to-face conversation. I love that. We're going to take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show right around the corner. I didn't watch the Grammys. Did you watch the Grammys?
No. I hate them.
This is one of those things that, like, if you were given a list of things to talk about today and you were just trying to snap through everything, Grammys would be the top of the list.
Yeah.
Did less than 5% of our audience watch the Grammys last night?
It exists in headlines after the Grammys. That's the only way that people are consuming that.
Because of the people who did something to try to make a headline.
Yes. Well, like, and Jimmy Carter.
It's kind of like your Wendy's story.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter, that man don't quit. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Talk about meat.
I love meat. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Did you see Jared's new grill?
Yeah.
Let me see your grill.
That sounds like a song. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I don't think they're talking about that.
Are they talking about the things on your teeth?
Cavities.
Yeah, they're talking about cavities.
That's a dental song.
Oh, dental songs.
It's for toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
4 out of 5 rappers agree.
Okay. For Colgate?
Uh-huh. Probably.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to talk about Colgate music.
Jared got his grill yesterday. When we discussed on the air, where were we? Why? What was it that brought that up that we discussed it? Because it was right before I went to the Jersey County Lincoln Day dinner that Friday. And I mentioned, oh, it was his birthday. It was his birthday. So we did go look at grills. Went to Collinsville Barbecue. Was highly recommended by many people. There's some stores in St. Louis that we want to go to as well. Collinsville Barbecue has Smokin' Brothers. It's a pellet grill there. And it is a Cadillac made in, I believe, Cape Girardeau. I think that it's like one that Jared saw. It's like the sports car that you want to get but can't get right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't end up buying that, but we're going to go back to Collinsville Barbecue and keep our eye on what Smokin' Brothers puts out. I really like that brand. I told Jared to get it. I was like, get that one. And I was intimidated by the price and the commitment, considering the only smoker that he had before was something we had bought off Swap. And it was fine. But he, so he spent about half the price, but I wouldn't be, what did somebody say on our Facebook page? You can go see a picture of him putting it together in our living room. Yes, the grill got out. No, we didn't cook in the living room. Yes, the grill did go out the door. And if you notice the way the picture is taken, have you seen the picture? I'm going to pull it up and I'll share it on our stream. But Jared's standing in the back of it and I was sitting in my chair, and the forced perspective of it, it either makes Jared look like he's about 3 feet tall.
Or I thought that.
The grill looked like it's the size of our 70-inch television in our room, in our living room.
I assumed, because I know how tall Jared is, so I assumed that is a massive
grill. That's what I thought too.
if you take Jared who's standing up next to it, if you look and see how much taller he is relative to the back of the grill where he's standing, and you'd think about moving him to the foreground and he would be that much taller than the grill in the foreground, he would look like a giant.
See, you should have taken the picture and then done that in post.
There was no post. I sat in my chair all day yesterday. The fact that I actually posted something was kind of the shocking part of it. But we got the grill. It was a Pit Boss Odessa Onyx 1250 something. Ooh, I don't know.
It is probably.
He keeps telling me things about it, and I am just, I told him, I love you. And if you love the grill, then I love the grill too.
You're going to love what's made on the grill?
For sure. He made burgers, brats, and smoked turkey sauce.
How about ribs?
Night. Well, he put it together yesterday, so the fact that he got it up and running last night for an 8:45 dinner was pretty fantastic.
That's true.
Yeah. And it was delicious. It was wonderful. But I have the picture up there of what he bought, and I wanted to buy a local brand. I wanted to, but I couldn't put upon him to buy anything that I wanted, because I don't have anything to do with it. The only part of this that I have anything to do with is whatever he cooks for us. And I also understand that he probably wants to spend some time outside by himself with a smoker. I don't know if he'd push back on this. I don't know if he wants me out there or not. I was going to say time alone, away from me and the kids. I could totally say that in front of him, and he might be like, that's not true. But maybe inside he'd be saying, that's exactly why I bought that smoker. I don't know. But I've got the post up there, and man, the comments and the tips. I want all your barbecue tips. And I want to know where to go. Everybody keeps talking about Collinsville Barbecue. That's the easiest one for us to go to. But I'm interested in what y'all know about smoking whatever it is that you can smoke in there, because it's not just meat. People are talking about like pineapple and watermelon and
smoke
all that stuff.
Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah.
Oh, you can make dips.
So go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page and give us your best advice. The number one advice that I'm gleaning from that is that it needs to be cleaned very regularly in order to preserve the integrity of the thing, and also make sure it doesn't catch on fire or something. That's not going to be my problem, but that'll just be more time for him to spend outside
putting out the fire.
No, but I mean, like, the ash accumulates from the the pellets and stuff, and so you got to clean it out to make sure that it functions properly.
I think that you guys, you know, next one, you get one that's so big and so strong that you could hide in it if there's a nuclear bomb.
You don't smoke meat.
I'm referencing mostly Indiana Jones 4.
But that was a refrigerator.
And it was a fridge.
Wasn't that the new one?
Is that the newest one?
Not the newest one.
No, it's not the newest one.
It was the alien one.
It was one with Shia LaBeouf.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
that movie,
it wasn't great.
I went to the theater and that movie made me mad. Because it sucked so bad.
The ending was so bad.
It was terrible.
The rest of it was just okay.
I was outraged. Almost as outraged as I was at seeing Independence Day Resurgence.
See, I didn't even see that movie.
You should go pay money to see it just so that you can be on this side of the misery line.
How old is that movie now?
Well, probably 10 years.
And that was a theater release, right? That wasn't just some random straight to video.
No, I mean, I was so hyped for it. I love Independence Day so much. Everything about Independence Day holds up. When you go back and watch Independence Day right now, there's parts of it that look dated. You know, if your kids are watching it and you're like, why is everybody wearing beige? Well, it's the 90s. This is what we did. How many feelings?
That's not the first thing I would have thought, but okay.
Now you go watch it and you feel like,
Everybody wearing beige?
It's very neutral. But the whole movie stands up. Everything about it, even I will see some of the graphics in Independence Day and be like, that's not as cool as I remember it being. Yeah. But it's still, you can give yourself into it. And it's not like watching Close Encounters. And then they had the opportunity to make a new one with the new technology. And I'm like, your story's the freaking worst.
Was anybody in that?
Yeah, like they almost all were. Yeah.
Was Will Smith?
Yeah.
Will Smith, Bill Pullman.
Oh my gosh.
Stripper lady.
How did I have missed
this? She like was running the world now. Because everybody can go from stripper to alien fighting.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen at least a clip of that because somebody was making fun of it.
Was Will Smith in it? What's his face was too?
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
I don't think Will Smith was.
Jeff Goldblum is like the star of Independence Day for me. It's not Will Smith. Will Smith is great. He's the lead. But Jeff Goldblum's character to Will Smith's character, it's just wonderful.
He steals the show with basically any movie he's in.
And he's so wonderfully weird.
Yeah.
You just want to see what he does next.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody but Ryan, give me your smoking tips on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. We already got it covered to hide in there, the nuclear attack.
Okay, that's my tip. All the rest of them can be other tips.
Uh-huh. Yeah, check your grills before you cook them. Light them. You never know who might be hiding in there. We've got a secret guest coming up next, and I don't know who it is. This makes me a little uncomfortable.
Ooh, I don't know either. So Brad must be the only one that knows.
I guess so. On the Annie Fry Show.